The scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Mark 8, page 174 in the Pew Bibles. Mark 8, beginning at verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels." Amen. Before we open this text, let us pray together. O Lord, we pray that you bless the preaching of your word today. Bless your word. Bless the preaching and bless also the listening of your word. Change us today, Lord. Help us to repent of our sins and help us to apply all the principles of this text to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to bring to you a warning. A warning. We all know what a warning is, right? A warning that applies to everyone on this earth. This is a warning that applies to you and applies to me. And we have warnings in every aspect of our lives. For example, when we drive our cars, we see these big signs in yellow and red, and these are warnings. Warnings that we need to pay attention to because if we don't, the consequence might be really not good. We also have warnings, for example, in the medicines we take, of what is the right doses that we need to take, because if we take more, we could die. We could die. So, warnings are really important, and we need to pay attention to these warnings. But when we read the warnings in the Bible, and when a warning comes from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the reality of this warning is magnified, is greater, is bigger, because spiritual things are more important than physical things. Today we have a warning that applies to all. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you are rich or if you are poor. It doesn't matter what country you are from. It doesn't matter anything. It is a warning that applies to you and applies to me, because the consequences, if we don't pay attention to this warning, are catastrophic and are eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ warns us by saying that whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What does it mean? What does he mean when he says that? It seems like Jesus is speaking a contradiction. right? But let's see the context first, the context of this warning, because it is really important. In this text, our Lord is with his disciples. This is the second year of his ministry, and the disciples have seen many miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They have heard every word he has spoken. At this point, they know who is Jesus. Since a few verses before, Peter, on behalf of the rest of the disciples, confessed that Jesus is the Christ. In verse 29, Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." So they knew who was Jesus. They knew that Christ was the Son of God. But what they could not understand was the mission of Christ. They knew who he was, but they can't understand his mission, that he needs to die in a cross, that he needs to suffer, as Jesus declared on verse 31, as we read. And it is clear that they didn't understand the mission of Christ, because Peter, after his great confession that Jesus is the Christ, what did Peter do? Peter began, after his confession that Jesus is the Christ, he began to rebuke Jesus. He began to rebuke Jesus about not coming to the cross, about not to suffer. And that was the same thinking of the rest of the disciples. And is in that context that we have this warning. A warning that comes with a paradox. You may be wondering, but what is a paradox? What's a paradox? A paradox, says the Oxford Dictionary, defines a paradox as a seemingly absurd or contradictory statement. And this is not the first time Jesus spoke using paradoxical statements. He used this kind of things many times to explain spiritual things. He used them all the time to explain things of heaven. And the Gospel of Mark is full of this kind of things. It's full of paradoxes. And almost every chapter in this gospel has a paradox. And in our text, this text is not the only paradox in this chapter. Verse 31 is also a paradox. It says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." And why is this a paradox? Because it seems contradictory that the Christ, the Messiah, have to suffer and die. That doesn't make any sense for the disciples. If you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, why do you need to die on a cross? Why do you need to suffer? They didn't understand the mission of Christ. They knew who he was, but they didn't understand why he was the Christ. And we, as we consider this text, we are going to see 3 points. First, we are going to consider the paradox itself. Second, we will consider the contrast of the warning. And third, we will consider the logic behind the warning. So let's begin in verse 35. In verse 35, we read, for whoever, that's the way the warning begins. That means that this warning is for you and it's for me, as I said earlier. It's for believers and it's for unbelievers. It is for poor people, for rich people. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the position you have in this world. It doesn't matter your status, your reputation. This warning is for you. But if we consider the context of this text, this warning is especially addressed to those inside the church. Why do I say that? Because Jesus spoke this warning to those that were following him, to those who were believers, to those who were Christians, to those inside the church. And there are many people today who go to church who think they are followers of Christ and they think that they don't need this warning. But that's not what Jesus teaches here. We read in verse 34, and calling the crowd to him with what? With his disciples. With his disciples. The Christian believers, he said to them. So this warning was meant for his disciples and other people around Jesus. And we, as his disciples, as believers, we must also hear this warning as everybody else. The verse continues, for whoever would save his life will lose it. For whoever would save his life would lose it. Here we have the paradox. A paradox. It is like a mystery, a puzzle. Jesus says, you have to lose to win. You have to be a loser in order to be a winner. That seems like a contradiction, right? What does Jesus mean here? Well, in order to understand this warning, we need to see it within the context again. We need to read the previous verse, for they are connected. The previous verse, Jesus says in 34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, what did he say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here we have a command. A command to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. This is a command and we need to obey it in order to be a follower of Christ. Here Jesus is calling his disciples to a life of self-denial. And the cross is a symbol of death. So if you want to follow Jesus, you need to die to yourself. This is essential to be a follower of Jesus. To deny yourself basically means to renounce or to refuse to associate with yourself. The true follower of Jesus says, I no longer want to associate with myself. I know that I am a sinner. I forsake myself. I abandon my works for my salvation. I abandon all self-effort. I abandon my own ambitions. I abandon my own agenda. I abandon my own plans, my own desires. And now my life belongs to Jesus Christ. That is denying ourselves. You reject all who you are. And now Jesus is the Lord of your life. He is the master of your life. He is the owner of your life. Now you follow his plans. Now you follow his agenda. Now you follow what he says in his word. So, when we get to verse 35, and we read, "For whoever would save his life will lose it," we now know what Jesus means with life. Here, life, therefore, means the opposite to deny myself. Life, in verse 35, means the opposite to deny myself and take up my cross. Here, life means who I am in this world. Life means the person I am in this world. And this person is the person who wants to save his life. He's the person who wants to fulfill his plans in this world. He wants to preserve and to keep his life in this world. And that is the character of the natural man, the man that doesn't know God. His ambition is to enjoy all the pleasures that this world offers. This person loves who he is in this world, so he would do anything to save who he is in this world. He loves the world, and he also loves how the world sees him. He's proud and self-centered. This is the person who wants nothing to do with the cross of Christ. And if we ask the question, what moved Christ to say this warning? Why did Christ speak this warning? And the answer is because of the rebuking of Peter. In verse 32, after Christ explained that he had to suffer and die on a cross, Peter didn't like the idea. So he went to Jesus and told him that the cross was not necessary. "No, Lord, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to suffer. Don't do it." And that was the thinking of the rest of the disciples also. But why did Peter say this? Why did Peter ask Jesus not to go to the cross? Well, Peter didn't like the idea, mainly because he loved who he was. Only 12 people were around the Messiah, the disciple, and he was one of them. He loved the status and the reputation he had. He was one of the 12, one of the disciples. So he was excited about the fact that only then were the privileged ones to be near the Christ. They wanted to be part of the kingdom, and they knew that Christ was the king. They wanted good and high positions in the kingdom. And they thought that the kingdom was soon to be here, and they were excited about it. But there was a problem. There was a problem. Jesus began to speak about suffering and dying on a cross. And that was just the opposite of their expectations. If this is the Messiah, how is it that he will die? That was contrary to their theology. And the thought of the death of the Messiah devastated their expectations about the kingdom, but especially about their positions in the kingdom. They were thinking about themselves. They were proud and wanted to secure their positions in the kingdom. And that is the reason why Peter goes to Jesus and tells him that the cross is not necessary. Jesus also said that he would rise after 3 days, but they would not hear that. They just wanted to save who they were in this world. The privileged ones. The ones who were near the king. They want to secure their positions here. They wanted glory without a cross. They wanted glory without suffering. They wanted to be above the others. And that attitude of pride and self-centeredness was what moved Christ to say this warning. That moved Christ to speak this warning because they needed to hear this warning. They were only thinking about themselves. They were proud. So they needed to hear this warning, and we need also to hear this warning. If they continue with that attitude, Jesus says, you will lose everything. You will lose everything. They needed to leave behind these worldly desires in order to save their eternal life with Christ. So they needed this warning badly. And this is typified by the rich young ruler, you remember, who was not willing to leave his riches behind to follow Jesus. He loved his position in this world. Jesus also says in Luke 14:33, he says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Philippians 3:8 says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And John 12:25 says, whoever, and hear this, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And in this verse, the key phrase is in this world. The person who loves his life in this world and all the pleasures of this world will lose his life. The disciples loved their lives in this world because they were with the Messiah. You can save your life in this world, at least briefly, but you will lose it eternally. But this warning also comes with a promise. Point number two, the promise of the warning. We continue reading verse 35. And that promise comes with the word but. This but converts the warning into a promise. It reads, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. This promise is just the opposite of the warning. In the warning, you lose by saving. And here, you save by losing. And the key words here are for my sake and the gospels. Because having Christ and the gospel is to abandon the pleasures of this world. This supports the idea that the person who wants to save his life in this world is a person without Christ and the gospel. You cannot have both. You cannot have the world and Christ. You cannot serve two masters. It doesn't work that way. It is either the world or Christ. If you love this world, you are an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. And the contrast here is between the temporal, the earthly, and worldly life, and the eternal, the spiritual, and the heavenly life. And at this point of the message, I want to ask you, are you trying to save your life in this world? Or are you losing your life for His sake and the Gospels? And this, my brothers and sisters, doesn't mean that you have to quit your job. It doesn't mean that you have to give all your money to the poor. I'm not talking here about philanthropy. I'm not talking about dying for a noble cause. Any of these things will take you to heaven. Losing your life for Christ and the gospel is having Christ as your Lord, as your Redeemer, as your Savior, as your Deliverer, as your Protector. When you realize that you are a sinner, that you offended the Holy God in such a way that there is no hope for you, no possibility of salvation, and then you see Christ and what He did for you on a cross, that is the moment when you start losing your life in this world. Your life, for you live now for His sake and for the expansion of the gospel. That is now the main purpose of your life. And you don't have to be a pastor to be like this. You can live like this doing any kind of job. Even inside the house, if you are a mother. In any place. And is it when you live like that, that you save your life? Because living like that is the proof that you have believed the gospel. That is the proof that you have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith moves. Faith actions. Faith do something. It's not passive. It's not blind. But if you save your life here, you may have pleasures, you may have delights, you may have fame, money, success, prestige, reputation, but your destiny is hell. And that is what losing your life means, hell. It is far better to lose your life here than losing it later. Losing it here is temporal, but losing it later is eternal. It is a foolish thing, silly, unwise to do that. That is why our Lord, using logic, He says this, verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? As you see, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is saying this. This is the logic behind the warning. Point number 3, the logic behind the warning. And this is a rhetorical question. Of course, gaining the world is not possible. This is a hyperbole, because it is impossible for a man to gain the whole world. But even so, if gaining the whole world was possible, it would be of zero profit, of no profit, because he would lose his soul forever. Forever. And you know what forever means. It is timeless, eternal. There is no way that you can pay for your soul. There is no way that you may do good works for your soul. Nothing in this world can help us to save our souls. It is the opposite. Losing our affections in this world is what will make you save your life. Gaining the world means losing your soul. But losing the world means gaining and saving your life. That is the spiritual and divine logic. That is the logic of God. That is the reasoning of God. And we need to hear this warning. You need to humble yourself to be exalted. That is the principle that we find all around the Word of God. Let's see now verse 37. 37 says, "For what can a man give in return for his soul? What can a man give in return for his soul? Let's say that you lost your soul. What can you give so you can have your soul back? The answer is nothing. 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 This is another logic statement. There is nothing that you can give for your soul. Many people today think that they can give their works, their ceremonies, their money to gain their salvation. But brothers and sisters, men do not stipulate what is needed to gain salvation. That is the work of God. Only God says what is needed to go to heaven. Only God says how you go to heaven. He is the one who has the authority, and he is the one who determines the way to heaven. And God says in his word that man is so poor in spirit, so corrupt for his sins, that he has nothing to give in exchange for his soul. Sins has produced a massive gap between God and man. And because of that gap, man prefers this world and not God. But God, in his mercy and grace, made possible to cut that gap. Joining man and God together again, he sent his own Jesus Christ to pay our debt, to receive the punishment you and I deserve for our sins. He took our place in that cross. And that is the amazing gospel. The gospel that is worthy of losing our lives in this world. And as we have said before, this warning is not a contradiction. But what indeed is a contradiction is if you say that you are a believer, but you live for the pleasures of this world, that is a contradiction. If you say that you are a Christian, but you live loving this world rather than living for Christ and the gospel. That is why I want to finish by giving you three words for you to examine your life so you can determine whether or not you are losing your life for Christ and the gospel, or instead you are saving your life in this world. First, you lose your life when Christ is your delight. You lose your life when Christ is your delight. And not a delight in the same way your wife or your husband or your children are your delight. He is the ultimate delight. You lose your life when Christ is your, when you find your satisfaction only in Christ. When Christ meets all your needs, then you're losing your life. Second, you lose your life when Christ is your desire. You lose your life when Christ is your desire. That means that you want to be like Christ. You want to be like Christ. He's your model. He's everything. You want to be conformed into his image in this life. But you also have the desire to be face to face with your Savior. You want to be face to face with your Redeemer. When you desire Christ like that, then you are losing your life. And third, you lose your life when Christ is your devotion. When Christ is your devotion, that means that you only worship God, that you only worship Jesus. He is the only object of your worship, Jesus. You pray to Jesus. You say thanks to Jesus. You know that everything you have is because of Him. He is your ruler. He is your governor, your master, your Lord. He is the king of your life. You are not in control of your life. Christ is. You surrender to His will and you obey His commandments. You accept everything He brings to your life, even when that hurts you. Even when you suffer, you accept that because you know that came from Christ. Because He needs to mold you. He needs to work on you. And He knows what is best for you. So, brothers and sisters, is Christ your ultimate delight? Is Christ your ultimate desire? Is Christ your devotion? We need to answer these questions today. Do not follow this world, which has nothing to offer you, where everything is superficial, where everything is void of meaning, and everything is temporal. Follow Jesus, and He promises eternal life because He Himself is the eternal life. Amen? Let's pray together. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful text. Thank you for your word, and thank you for teaching us and confronting us with your word. And help us to apply all these principles to our lives. Help us not to love this world, but to love you. Help us that Christ be our delight, our desire, and our devotion. And help us to examine ourselves and to meditate on these things and to give real proof that we are indeed your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.